Good day. Welcome again to another episode of Insight Nature versus Nurture, where we discuss all things pertaining to nutrition and lifestyle. Grab a seat, pull up a chair, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right. So I'm going to title this episode, The Invisible Elephant in the Room. There's 2 points I want to touch on during this podcast or voice blog or whatever you want to call it. Is the fact that, mindfulness is a term that's being floated around, thrown around, used. And in the terms or as it relates to nutrition and lifestyle, it's really just the key to all of this, if I could give you one big piece of advice, if I could talk about, you know, this elephant in the room, it's the mindfulness of what it is that you're doing, the intention in which you're doing things. A lot of people are out there right now, the majority of you, are out there to lose weight, and you're being even told, because I've heard physicians say this firsthand, and even other health practitioners, is when you lose weight, you're going to be healthy. And really, I want everybody to understand and fully understand this, that when you're healthy, you will lose weight, not the other way around, okay? If that weight is meant to be lost, if your body determines that losing that weight is a benefit to your overall health, not a detriment to your health, okay? Losing weight can be of detriment to your health. When you go into the hospital and you're critically ill or if you're injured, weight loss is a certainty. And why isn't that associated to better health? Now, in working with diabetics and things, you know, and just focusing on that chronic disease right now, I know by regulating blood glucose, it enables the body to be able to oxidize adipose tissue, be able to break down body fat and break down even the visceral fat that tends to surround itself around the organs and put pressure on essential organs and tends to be very toxic to the body. There's a myriad of different things that visceral fat has been associated to and tends to clog up some pretty important systems within the body, you know, endocrine systems. So that's kind of where we're heading with this, is we need to start thinking more health and less weight loss. We need to start thinking more health and less environment. I know that's not trending right now and might be, you know, not popular to say, but ultimately, like, I'm of the firm belief it's not the planet we're leaving for our children, it's the children we're leaving for our planet. And if anything is starting to reveal that now, it's the fact that our children, you know, myself, I'm 45, I've got a 17-year-old girl who's very conscious of the environment, very aware of what's happening, and it's real to them. There's no bullshit around that. They're not being, talked out of it or looking at it as inconvenient. It's an inconvenient truth, so it might be a little bit easier to disbelieve it because it's hard to believe that we were part of this and we've done this. But imagine now an army of these people that are, you know, really voracious for change, but they become ill. They're heavily medicated. They're having a difficult time dealing with society and life because they're so weak physically. They're not healthy, so the days tend to stack on top of them. They feel the pressure. They have less energy than the day asks of them, so they're constantly running this deficit. So the chronic illness is coming in, and their ability to affect change is lessened because they just don't have the ability to. They just don't have the energy. It's like us adults. I mean, at the end of the day, the majority of you guys are so wiped that you just don't have anything left to give. You're basically just treading water. You're treading water with your significant others. You're treading water with your kids. You're treading water with, you know, even activity levels, right? You're going out, you're playing a few catch-up games of basketball or hockey or whatever, but you could be suffering for it for the rest of the week, and it could be more you're going because of obligation, or you're just familiar with that, and you're not going because of the drive to go. You're not going because you would, you know, you're passionate for it, because passion requires a lot of energy, a lot of focus, and if you don't have it to give it, then, right, you don't have it. So the elephant in the room essentially is just doing things daily more mindfully, right? The devil's in the details, guys. It's the daily habits that create these massive returns. And that's what people need to start to focus on is, okay, I'm going to begin documenting what I'm eating. You know, I'm not going to pick a flag. I'm not going to be vegan or vegetarian or paleo or carnivore or whatever the hell is, you know, circulating on the interweb at that particular time. You're just going to start tracking what you're eating. Pay attention to what you're eating. Same as activity. Pay attention to how you're moving, how much, frequency, duration, all these things. And what it does is it gives you pathology. It gives you parameters. You start to see the big picture now, right? Imagine if this podcast was totally different, and I was giving you financial advice, and or I was seeing you one-on-one as a financial consultant, and we were trying to, really streamline your finances. One of the first things that I would ask you for is, all right, let's see your receipts. Let me see how you're spending the money. Let's see where it's going. And the majority of the people that find themselves in financial issues, it's because they don't keep receipts. They don't track what they're spending. They don't do a monthly budget, right? So there's a very strong parallel to our financial crisis, the fact that we're spending more money than we're making, and our health, the fact that we're spending more of our health than what we're reinvesting into our health. So we're creating deficits is what's happening. So we're living our lives as deficits, and we're teaching our children how to do that. So when the children want to invest into the environment, give of their time, of their attention, they want to take studies, they want to, affect or make change, they don't have the funds to do so, the health funds, right? They're overwhelmed with the job that they needed to pay for school, all of the things that happen right now that distract us from what's actually important, right? I see this every day in my office. I see this every day with my online coaching is, all right, honestly, with you eliminate all the bells and whistles and fancy, hacks and psychological avenues. And really, it just comes down to the fact that you've deprioritized and just messed the shit out of your life. You're so focused on things that aren't really that important at the end of the day, like your health, like your family, like all these things. And they're all really kind of interconnected. A healthy person is going to be more aware of their family and the feelings that their children have and their spouses have, and whether or not, they should push or they should let off and all of these different things. But people that are very, very overwhelmed with life, you're forced to basically just prioritize like emergency, bills. The collectors are calling. You're in debt up to your eyeballs. It's funny when you say that because it's constantly in your line of sight. So it tends to be where you focus the majority of your energies, and the other stuff is neglected. So that's really the big. The big thing that if you guys take some advice from this podcast this week is simply just document what it is you're doing. And then in that documentation, in that journaling or whatever you want to call it, it can give you the insight as to where you want to go from that point. It gives you an idea of where you stand. And ultimately, you'll never know you're lost unless you know where you stand. Right, the worst thing in the world right now is people are out there, and I hear this every goddamn day. I know how to eat, I just don't do it, or I'm really not that bad, or all of these different things. There's so many people out there that are lost beyond their comprehension, and because they don't know they're lost, they don't know to. It's not in their mind frame to even think about fixing it, which is kind of absurd, right? We're so, and I've said this in previous podcasts, we're so focused on so many other things in our lives, locking the door at night and all these other behaviors for these small little statistic possibilities. And we have these massive statistic possibilities regarding chronic illness. You know, the big ones: heart disease, diabetes, cancer, dementia. You know, those types of things. So what are we doing? You know, how are we taking, what steps are we taking to protect ourselves from that? And really, we're not thinking about it. We're thinking about, you know, acute defensive mechanisms where let's get diagnosed early. You know, here's a thought. Let's not get diagnosed at all. Let's not even, you know, let's significantly reduce the probability of it so that you don't catch cancer early. When you go in for screening, you're not diagnosed at all. When you go in and get your blood pressure and blood work done yearly at least, then there's no abnormalities, there's no big fluctuations, and plus you're creating that platform, that pathology, where if there's anything that fluctuates or moves unnaturally, then your healthcare professional is aware of it and can take precautions and take measures early. And but those, the percentage of people that need that type of response are going to lessen, because again, it's all prophylactic, right? If I could wave my magic wand and make everybody believe that they had type 2 diabetes, we'd eradicate type 2 diabetes because people would start to eat more responsibly, right? We did it with safe sex. We did it with all these other behaviors. We can drastically reduce the probability by being prophylactic, by, you know, getting people more aware of the risk factors, okay? We're so, you know, backwards when it comes to stuff like this. But really, again, going back to the theme of this podcast is being aware of where you are right now in this moment, your behaviors. It will give you the perspective and the ability to be able to pick and choose certain behaviors you want to change, certain behaviors that may have a big impact versus others, right? So those types of things are important. And like going back to, you know, the whole management issue is being more aware, keeping your receipts, and then, you know, you check your bank account and you see, holy shit, I'm overdrawn. You can go through your receipts and it makes sense to you, right? Okay, something isn't crooked here. Something, no one's stealing from me. I'm just overspending. So you look at those receipts and you start to say, look how much I'm spending in, you know, eating out or going to the movies or, you know, all of these other things, these non-essential things. And you could start to pull those out and you could see, you know what, I don't actually need those. Now that they're gone, I really don't miss them. So why was I spending my money on that? And then that money starts to go into another account, which can go towards things that are a lot more meaningful, right? So in life, we only have a certain amount. You know what I mean? You can't be more than 100%. So what's happening is we're allocating that 100% poorly because we're not paying attention. And things in our society, things in our culture are allocating that health fund, that energy fund, it's allocating it for us. So we've become consumers and not purchasers. We're not strategically purchasing something for a purpose. We're being sold to, we're mindlessly just grabbing shit and consuming it. Food is the biggest defense of that, because of trends and things like this. So really, you know, writing down, and again, you know, this is my living and this is what I do. And I do this because I see more of an impact being a nutrition and lifestyle coach than I saw when I was on the fire department. It gives me the ability to be there before the accident happens. And when I was a fireman, 73% of our calls were first responder calls. We were going to, and you know, a large percentage of those calls were essentially just people that had let a chronic issue get to an acute point where they were in a diabetic coma. They were suffering from a heart attack or stroke. You know, they were having one right then, or they had had one, and we were there to try and keep them breathing until the EMTs and got them to the hospital. So I see more of a purpose to this, but it's a very difficult one. There's no glamour, there's no lights and sirens, and there's no kids running up to you and, you know, wanting to be like you. this is it's a tough ass job to try and convince people that the sky is falling, that you know the earth is warming, and the higher you have a higher likelihood of being stricken with heart disease, diabetes, or cancer than you do getting into a car accident and needing the fire department, or your house catching on fire needing the fire department. So this is something that we need to think about, and these are things that we need coaches for. All right, there are people like me out there that you can get in contact with that will help you budget your health. All right, it's not about this bullshit restriction and you know deprivation crap that's out there, and cutting out specific nutrients and things like this, and you know one size fits all and aggressive, and it's totally ludicrous. In my mind and in my experience and what and where I've seen people become greatly successful is not only in teaching them how to accumulate health, but it's in teaching them how to spend that health, right? We can't take it with us when we go. So again, going back to finances, because it's a fantastic parallel, is there's no sense in teaching someone how to save if you don't teach them how to spend and invest, okay? Because they're just going to piss the money away. And this is the fact right now with health. People accumulate a particular point of health. They lose weight. They reduce their medications, all these great things. But they're never able to sustain it because they were never taught along the way. They were just like, they were pushed to get there, but they weren't trained and educated along the way in order how to stay there. So again, like these lottery winners that are broke within 5 years because they just pissed their money away, they have no spending habits. They have no knowledge in regards to, you know, the finite amount of money that they actually have. And we're all born with a particular amount of health, and we can either add to that amount or we can squander it. We can, you know, like I've said, piss it away. It's entirely up to us. And the more that you're aware and mindful of your habits, your health spending habits, the more you'll find that you'll be able to balance your budget and have more in the savings account or the rainy day account for when something happens and you know someone requires your attention and you have to put yourself on the back burner for a little bit. You've got enough to skate with that. Whereas a lot of us, we don't. We can't give to other people because we don't have it to give. You can't pour from a cup that's empty. So I'm easy to get a hold of. Facebook is the best place to get a hold of me. But it is a two-way street, guys. Paying me to coach you and then not doing anything on your end is absolutely useless, right? That's you know, it doesn't, paying a coach same way as paying a trainer or paying a gym membership and not showing up, it doesn't give you the right to become healthier or fitter, all right? You have to do the work on your end. But when you're with a good coach, they make it realistic. They make your goals attainable. They're focused on the long term. They're focused on the daily habits. Like, so it's a bunch of micro movements, and it's about creating a relationship of trust so that you're seeing, okay, it's not a quick fix. I'm not one of 1,000 people. It's not a funnel, you know, and just a generic bullshit response. It's, you know, access, it's customization, it's relationship, it's experience, okay? And I do suggest that you take that step and invest in someone like myself to coach you to better health, to provide you with structure, you know, be it meal plans or tracking, you know, your receipts, sending in your macronutrients so that someone like myself can take a look at it, give you feedback, and you can make these small changes all at a price point that you're not going to have to, you know, remortgage or refinance your home in order to do so. Because really, on my end, people like myself really enjoy doing this. We don't bite off more than we can chew in terms of our clientele. We keep costs minimal so that we can keep your costs minimal. Because again, it's anybody that sells you everything, and there's so many different aspects to this, and you know, they're overselling because they lack the ability, right? versus someone like myself who knows their ass from their elbow, has been doing this a long time and worked with so many different people, that I don't have to make it look bigger and more elaborate than it actually is. It's just simply having daily access to someone so that when you have questions, you're able to get them answered. You can hear someone's voice when you need to hear them, not this bullshit set appointments and, you know, a week from next Tuesday, then we'll, you know, talk about it then, when really the moment has passed or you've been suffering that whole time and it could have been just a minute issue. So that's, you know, having a real-time coach and maybe even possibly having a meal plan that will give you the parameters, kind of like a prescribed food or a plan, so to speak, to be able to create a bit of structure in your life so that you can build up the momentum and get into those habits and not allocate too much of your cognitive functioning, your thought processes, to this immediately. And then basically just build you up from there so that eventually you won't need the meal planning. You'll be able to plan your own. You know, you got to crawl before you can walk. And some people can jump right in and do the macros. Some people need a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more structure. And that's where the meal plans really kind of dial people in. It gives them good visual acuity in regards to portion sizes, timing of their food, frequency. A good measurement too, because, you know, you can step into a restaurant environment and think, okay, my menu, I would typically have this at this time of the day. Now, what on this menu looks reasonably the same so that I'm not too far off? And you can feel really good about that. And you could see the results that you want. You can get the results that you want, and you'll know how you got there because you'll have that map right there with you. That map is your meal plan. Now, again, like any other journey, you don't want to be eyes on the map the whole time. You'll miss a lot of the other stuff that the map doesn't give you. But the thing is, it's so comforting to know that you have that map to go back to if you're feeling like, oh my God, am I lost or I'm a little off? You know, you can take a quick glance back, follow the map until you've got that comfort level back, and then the map gets kind of pushed off to the side a little bit. And That's how I recommend people use meal plans. When you're lost, refer to them. When you're feeling like you got a good head of steam on, then you can just kind of put them in your peripheral and use them more as a guideline. And then eventually, and this is what happens, you know, you may revert back to old habits. You may feel lost, overwhelmed, especially after a holiday or something traumatic that's happened in your life, or, you know, something has taken place that has pulled your attention away from you, so to speak. It's a great cornerstone. It's a great grounding marker for you to go back to get you back and set up so that you're not floundering in between for too long, because that's a killer as well. Going away on vacation and then coming back, but kind of being caught nutritionally and lifestyle in between the vacation and your regular everyday. So the weight that you've gained on vacation, you're sustaining that weight gain by not getting back into your regular routine, right? So it would be like, you know, coming back off vacation and not going back to work. So you come back off vacation and, you know, you're staying up late and you're drinking every day. And then you come back and you're like, oh, you know what? I don't really feel like going back to work. Or, you know what? I'll just work part-time. I'll work a few hours a day. So the alcohol consumption tends to be a little higher. You know, you're sleeping in. You're just not in that frame of mind. And, you know, your bank account takes a shit-kicking for it. So the same nutritionally, right? Again, another financial parallel is when you are like coming off of Thanksgiving, coming off of Christmas, or any of these multitudes of holidays, the issue isn't the weight that you gain during the holiday, it's the weight that you don't lose before the next holiday, right? Accumulating debt. So I say to a lot of my clients, there's approximately 20 major holidays in a year. So there's 365 days a year. So what are you doing with the other 345 days, right? Like, that's what you need to focus on. If you do your 345 right, you budget yourself right, you know, you're ready for these events, you can go into them like a rock star, right? Imagine if you put $5 away for Christmas. So 360 days later, bam, you're into the week of Christmas between, you know, December 25th and January 1st, and you've got $5 saved from the other 360 days before that. Like, it's mind-boggling that people aren't thinking this way, all right? And then when they, and then they're caught with their pants down. So, oh my God, it's Christmas. Oh, I hate it because I know I'm going to go up in weight. And oh, I'm so like, so weeks and months leading up until this very joyous festive occasion, you're already putting a negative spin to it. You've got this negative influx of emotion and feeling. So eventually you're going to learn to hate Christmas because of what's associated to it. Personally, I love Christmas. I'll put 5 pounds on plus over Christmas, right? And I'll love it. And I'll be able to lose the 5 pounds probably within the next week, maybe week and a half afterwards. I'll get back to the gym because over Christmas, my gym visitations go down because I'd rather spend time with friends, later hours, more alcohol, different foods. So I'll go up 5, maybe 7 pounds. And then after that, I get right back to work. And I'm actually anxious to get back because I don't feel as good. Emotionally, I feel nice. Man, it was great to see so-and-so, and it's great to go to that party, and didn't we have fun there? So I'm creating memories, but I'm not leaving those environments thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have done that. So you're walking out of this very, again, festive and joyous occasion with this immense guilt of, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And again, financial parallel, it really is like walking in and purchasing something that you can't afford. And you walk out, and you're like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should return it. Oh, I feel guilty for having it. Or how am I going to explain this to my spouse? Or where am I going to come up with the money now for, you know, the rent, the mortgage, the lease on the car, whatever, right? So it's just constantly mismanagement. So being more mindful of what you're putting in your body is the first step. Writing shit down, okay? Whether you're proud of it or not is irrelevant, because there are chances are you're going to see even better food than what you originally thought, right? By writing it down, you could think, oh my God, I'm not that far off. I just need to make a few changes and I can actually make this work. Or even better is, you know what, get a hold of myself or someone like me to be able to walk you through the process, to advise you. All right, Neil, listen, this is what I'm eating. You know, and this is where I want to be. This is, you know, this is my future. I want to be, you know, 45 years of age. I want to have a good fitness level. I want to have energy. I want to be disease and medication free, like all this stuff. All right, well, in order to do that, by looking at what you're eating, I think we need to change this, this, and this, or just this. Let's just do this right now. And the ROI, which is the return on investment on this investment, on this strategy, is going to be massive. Whereas you could really just kind of spin your wheels with changing all these other things. You know, it might seem like it's a big deal, but those ones really don't give you the return that this change will. And that's the insight that I can give to you, so that you're working. I mean, it's hard work, but it becomes a lot less hard when you're smart about it and you're making these strategic, educated, insightful decisions. Again, which is why I call my company, why I call what it is that I do, it's insight. And then it's you'll find that those changes, they become permanent because you understand them and you're seeing the return on them, and you'll see a constant return on them. It's not something that, okay, it got you this far and now it's not going to work anymore. It's compound. So, you know, we'll make one change and then we'll make another change on top of that. And the permanence of those changes, because we're making them one at a time, it's very high. All right. So anyway, that's kind of it for today, guys. I hope you take the time to listen to this. I hope you enjoy it. Give me feedback, share it around. And if you need me, get a hold of me. All right. You can reach me on this very same Facebook page that you're probably in through this link that you're actually listening to this podcast on or in. And even if it's just a quick connect to find out, okay, Neil, you know, what do you do? And can you help me? Or am I a fit for your services? Is, you know, am I ready for someone like you in my life? Am I ready to take that step? Am I tired of spinning my wheels and chasing my tail and, gaining and losing the same weight and all the same New Year's resolutions and just being so overwhelmed and so frustrated with it all, period. If those are your thoughts, if those things are rolling around in your head right now, then yeah, definitely I'm the guy for you. Like I said before, I do have limited space. So I would much rather work with fewer people more effectively than a large amount of people ineffectively. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. That's why I'm doing this. All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for continuing to listen. And thank you for continuing to share. All right. Thanks.